Hi, I'm just popping on here because I want to apologize for the amount of times I say the word show notes. I just listened back and I was like, oh my god, you want to stop saying that word? So yeah, I'm so sorry. It's really annoying. And I will not do that. All right, bye. Hello and welcome back to How to Be a Healer. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. This episode I talked to Amy Glanville, who is a gong bath healer and therapist, and she's a nutritional therapist as well. And it was so lovely to meet her, and this was the first time I've recorded in person, and is what I'll be doing from I was about to say from this day forward, but that sounds really intense. Just from now on, I just love it. I absolutely loved talking to her, and she came to the Soul Spa in Bath to have a chat with me. And if you've ever been interested in this kind of work, she is a wonderful person to listen to. And if you want to get in touch with her, all her information is in the show notes. And I really hope you enjoy this episode, and I'll see you at the end. So great. I worked with my mum, so I was like,
no,
this felt very like smart.
Yeah.
But so anyone who wouldn't know who you are and what you do,
yeah,
could you explain what it is that you do?
Yeah, I'll give it a go.
Yeah. In any way you want.
So, well, my name's Amy.
Yeah.
I work with a few different tools to hopefully enable people to reach optimal health. That's the end goal. So I'm a nutritional therapist. So I work with various different modalities within that, really. So obviously we look at diet, lifestyle, we look at emotional stuff, herbal medicine, supplements, functional testing. It all comes under like the umbrella of nutritional therapy, really. And the main focus of it is to address the root cause of people's health symptoms, rather than just trying to mask the symptom by using a prescription drug or something else. So it's trying to look at why something might be presenting in someone's life, and then using all of those tools to work out a program to hopefully address that root cause. And it's also about sharing education with clients as well. So it's about trying to empower people to take control of their own health,
yeah,
and their own life, and to learn about their own bodies, because everybody's different. So that's the other thing, is that often you'll Google something online and these things will come up with these miracle cures, but it's like it might have worked for one person, but it won't necessarily work for everyone, you know?
It's so true.
So it's a collaborative process, I would say, between the nutritional therapist and the client.
Yeah.
It involves quite a lot of deep diving into somebody's health history,
mm-hmm,
and looking at that link between body and mind in quite a big way, and how the two can interact each other. It's a two-way street, you know?
Wow.
So I think it covers quite a lot of different things that could be going on. But you know, it's such a powerful thing, and it makes such a big difference to people's lives. So I think it's always one to look at. If something's feeling a bit off, or you're not feeling at your best,
yeah,
there's always something that you could do to
then just come and see you.
Yeah. So that's one of the things. And then I also work with flower remedies, back flower remedies. So that kind of comes under the umbrella of the nutritional therapy as well. So if it seems like there's possibly a strong emotional, energetic influence onto somebody's physiology and how they're sort of physically presenting something, then the back flower remedies can be really, really useful, because they're super gentle. Everyone can use them. But again, you know, depending on the person, for some people they can have a really, really quite big impact.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, a lot of these things have been from my personal experience. So I've generally gone into these fields having gone on a journey with that modality myself,
yeah.
you know, in terms of my kind of healing journey, which I think I'll be on forever, really. Yeah. I mean, I'll, you know, you know, yeah. we're always trying to kind of, yeah, undo maybe the bad habits we formed, and just living in this society, it's quite difficult to totally remove stress and toxins from your life and yeah. to always make the best choices for ourselves. So I yeah. think the more tools and knowledge you have, like in that toolkit, that you can call on at different times, and I think that's one of the keys. Because, you know, the times in my life where maybe having a regular yoga meditation practice would be really beneficial are probably the times where I struggle to get on the mat the most.
Yeah.
So maybe there's something else then that I can turn to in those moments to help me get back on that kind of practice.
That's amazing. And do you, yeah. and then you also do
sound healing. Yeah. So that's been actually probably the newest thing that I've started offering. It was only really last spring that I actually went and did some training in it.
Yeah.
So again, it's always been something that I've enjoyed myself, going to sound bars and particularly the gong just blew my mind away. I think I first experienced it maybe about 10 years ago now at a festival.
Yeah.
I think it's Colour Fest. I don't think it's going anymore. It's down in Dorset. And I went to this tent for a gong bath, not really knowing what it was. And I think there was only myself and three other people there. So, you know, that would be unheard of these days.
Oh my gosh.
It's grown in popularity so much. But yeah, and I just remember, yeah, being really blown away by it and really travelling to what felt like a totally different place, seeing all these different colours, and, you know, it was almost like I could see the vibrations of the gong.
Yeah.
You know, and it was really, yeah, it was mind blowing. And so since then, like, I was like, I need to do that, you know, more and more. And then last spring I saw a training course up in Stroud at Hawkwood College.
Ooh, okay, this is really useful because yeah, if anyone wants to get involved,
I would 100% recommend this. Yeah, so it's basically the training was devised by a guy called Don Conroe, who's an American guy. It's called Gong Master Training. He's worked with the gong for a very, very, very long time, and he's written several books on it and things like that. Mm. It was actually delivered by two people, Aidan McIntyre and Tim Byford, over 5 days. So I did their, they call it the gong initiation. So it's kind of, I suppose, like the starting point if you've not played a gong before.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, it was amazing. It was informative,
mm-hmm.
but it was also very playful. And it was, you know, I felt like myself and the rest of the group, we learned so much, but also we just had so much fun. You know, it was one of those spaces where you could just explore really yeah. freely, and there was no pressure that there was a particular thing that you had to gain from it as such.
That's really nice.
Yeah, it yeah. was like, obviously you get your certificate at the end and things like that, so if you do want to go on to offer, you know, gong therapy and gong baths to people, then you can, but yeah. it was more just about being initiated into the way of the gong, as they say, and really sort of gaining more of an understanding of what the instrument represents and what it can offer and how to build a relationship with it, really. So I would definitely recommend. I mean, Hawkwood College in Stroud is beautiful anyway. But yeah, this training.
That's
yeah,
amazing. We'll get all that information and we'll put it in the show yeah, notes, so people yeah. can like find, or any resource you mention, we'll sort it out and we'll
yeah,
get it for
yeah,
people.
I would definitely recommend that one. They do a few throughout the year as well. They do a very intense, like, 10-day one during the summer,
yeah.
which is very immersive, and I think they have, they call it, like, a gong puja, so they play the gong, like, all night. I think one night or maybe two.
Wow.
So it's very immersive, so you'll be hearing the gong and everything after that.
Oh, my gosh.
Your head will be vibrating.
That's amazing. And you said you got into that because you were curious for yourself. You just like going to gong baths, and then you were like...
Yeah.
Was there a point where you were like, I actually want to do this as a potential job?
Yeah.
Like adding on to all the other things you do.
I think it was after that training. I think yeah. I came back you know, just feeling really buzzing from it, you know, when you just feel that that's energy.
The, yeah,
and you
that's
think,
the feeling.
I need to keep doing this. So this needs to be a part of my life. I think that was the feeling afterwards that I just thought, yeah, like this is something I'd like to share. And I think it's nice. I like to do it alongside other things because I think I wouldn't want to turn it into like a business. You know, I think like for me, it's more about finding ways to just share that experience with people. And obviously part of that, you do have to cover your costs and things like that. But I think, the priority for me was to try and just give people a space to experience something quite special and quite different to what we kind of often do.
Yeah.
It is quite unique. And even now, every time I run one, there's always at least one person, if not several, that have never been to a gong bath before and don't have no idea what to expect. And
yeah.
I often find that those people have the most profound experience.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah, like when you don't have an expectation, I think you're more open.
You're right.
You know, and yeah, some of the experiences people describe to me afterwards, I'm like, this, yeah.
And how lovely is that? Like that people can just come and have like those kind of conversations with you. Like it's such a privilege, isn't it? And
yeah,
like,
it's lovely to hear.
Yeah, and you're like, no small talk, just like, yeah, you're in the cosmos and you're like doing all this stuff.
Yeah, and it's like the variety of different experiences people have
is
amazing. So it's quite difficult when people ask, like, well, what can I expect? Like, you know, because you don't want to affect their expectation too much by describing it, but equally, you know, I understand people sometimes are tentative about trying something that they have no idea how they're going to feel.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it speaks to people in very different ways and different days as well. You know, some even when I'm playing it, some days I feel very energized afterwards, and other days I feel like I could fall asleep on the floor right in front of it. You know.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it is. It's all about like the week you're in or like the season or the chapter of your life, and you just I know exactly what you mean with that feeling of you could just go running. Sometimes I go running after like I do sound baths, or I'm like falling asleep on the chair outside.
It's really interesting.
And when did you start, when did you train to be the naturopathic nutritionist? When did you begin that journey?
When did I begin it? So the course I did was through the School of Health in Stroud. I'm from Stroud, so this is a link why
I
keep doing all this training in
Stroud. Stroud's magic.
It is a beautiful place. Yeah. My dad still lives there, so it's easy for me to go back and access all that stuff. But it was actually like a distance learning course. So I think I graduated about 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago. I think it took me about 3 years. I'm trying to remember now, but it was around that,
I get that.
I liked the fact that I could do it alongside other work and take my time and do it at my own pace.
Always, like, before you started doing that course, were you always interested in this thing, or were you doing like something completely other work that has nothing to do with this type of environment or modalities? Like,
yeah, my career path has taken a few different turns. I studied psychology at university at the beginning, and I went in to work for the probation service in Bristol, actually. So I was there for about 7 years, which was very interesting and very eye-opening.
Yeah.
But was also just didn't feel like the right fit for me in terms of the work and the politics that go around it, unfortunately. So I left that and actually then went into a totally different field, in interior design. And set up a shop in Bristol, which is still running now, actually.
What's the shop called?
Rosa Furniture.
Oh, cool.
On White Ladies Road. I have a business partner that still runs that, but I've obviously stepped away from it now. But it was kind of different. I think I wanted to try something more creative, something, you know, that kind of polarity, which I do quite a lot in my life.
Oh my god, I'm all about polarity.
Somehow I managed to find the middle ground once I've gone to two extremes. But so I was working in something quite different, but I think the kind of journey that I went on started maybe about 15 years ago,
yeah,
with really getting into yoga and meditation, psychotherapy. Like, I tried so many different things because, you know, it was that niggling feeling of, I think I could feel better, like physically and emotionally.
Yeah.
And, you know, it all started with the yoga practice, really. I think it enabled me to slow down enough, you know, to tune in and to listen to what my body was actually saying and what my mind was actually saying. Mm-hmm. I think often those busy distractions can really be effective at stopping you from recognising what's going on.
Yeah, and years go by and you're like, what do I actually like?
Yeah.
What am I into? Or the weird, yeah, quote, weird things you think you're interested in, you don't think, could that be, like, could I do that and have a career in something, yeah, that I really love? Your mind can get in the way and your conditioning can get in the way and all, yeah, that, yeah, stuff.
But I think it's all about the journey anyway, isn't it? I think,
oh my gosh, yeah.
You know, I think I feel like I needed to go through all of these different phases of my life, mm-hmm, and different cycles of my life, which have all interestingly been around 7 years, which I've read quite a lot about, that this is,
yeah,
this is a thing. And, you know, going on that kind of personal growth has enabled me now, I feel, to be in a better place to then work in this kind of field, I think.
Oh, you know, so lovely.
Yeah, I think it can be really useful to have that personal experience of that journey, so that you can maybe have a little bit more understanding of what your clients might be experiencing or feeling, or just being able to kind of have that empathy a bit more easily.
That's such a good way of putting it, because I think the reason why I wanted to do this podcast was because I wanted someone who was in a job they weren't maybe not into, or always had like a calling or a drawing to be in sort of a healing modality environment, but never either knew anyone who'd done it or had no idea how to kind of bridge from where they were into this new, yeah, world. And I love it. I think it's really helpful to hear that you can just go and try out loads of different things, and it doesn't, yeah, need to be like this perfect linear road, and you're like, you try one thing and you didn't actually really like it as much as you maybe thought you did, and
yeah,
it's fine, we all do that, and it's all part of the process of it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I completely agree. And I think, you know, the way that the career market is these days, I think it's actually a lot easier for people to change path.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard the term portfolio career, which, you know, I think definitely might come under that. And, you know, but even now, because I stepped away from the business in Bristol, yeah, like I said, only really last spring to go, yeah, into this full time. I was doing the nutritional therapy alongside it before that. So I think there's been even that sort of process of easing out of one into another, and it not being like a sudden,
yeah,
cutting everything off, because, you know, at the end of the day, you've got bills to pay, and 100%. You know, as much as I don't like focusing on money is an important part of,
no, I think that's our really
lifestyle.
Yeah, it's really helpful. It's like, we can't pretend that doesn't exist, because, yeah, it'll scare people or make people put too much pressure on themselves for everything to be like,
yeah,
I have to do this full time or I'm just not,
yeah,
committing or whatever story is going on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and even now, I mean, like I said, it's only really been a year that I've been focusing my attention on this stuff, I feel like, more full time.
Yeah.
But I still supplement my income with a few other things.
Yeah.
Just, you, good, know, if I have a week where I don't have as many clients booked in, then I generally go and do painting and decorating.
I love that. Yes.
Yeah, I've got a friend who is, yeah, he's been doing it for years and he's got loads of projects on us, so he always is up for, you know,
see, this is great.
Just letting him know.
I love that. It makes people,
days free, whatever.
It's just like you feel more resourceful, you're more in charge of your finances. That makes you feel, yeah, more secure and safe. And then, you know, everything generates from that safe nervous, yeah, system feeling. And then you feel like you can show up for people, have good ideas for your business.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's, I think more people need to know this. Like, go and get a little bridge, yeah, job, a little side job, just to,
I think so,
that you can clock in, clock out, that doesn't like really affect your day, and then you can,
yeah,
like, know that your bills are taken care of, and then you've got time for your stuff.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think when you have that sense of calmness, then you can be more creative, and you can dedicate those days that maybe you need, like, 2 or 3 days to sit down and really look at your website.
Yeah.
Or to look at how you're going to promote your work, or what it is you really want to promote about it. which you're not going to get paid for those days. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, all of this stuff that you have to invest in terms of your energy and your time, in the long run, there's a return, but in the short, it's a real dedication. So I think to have something else that you can call on.
Yes.
Has been useful for me. Anyway, that would be my recommendation. And like you say, I think to have something that perhaps doesn't take up too much of your energy and your mental capacity, because, you know, running the business and I was trying to do too, I think that was too much.
Yeah.
It took up so much of my energy.
Yeah, so you're the painting decorating is like a kind of palette cleanse, because you're just like having it's like,
I really enjoy
different.
Yeah, I enjoy it, and it's moving my body, and it's again sort of being quite creative. And yeah, so I do that. And I also work at a community farm down in Chumagna.
Oh,
so it's
lovely.
Called the Community Farm. They're really lovely. It's such a lovely space. But, you know, I just work there once a fortnight doing their veg shed on a Saturday. So, and I get to talk to people about food and organic vegetables and promote all the amazing work they're doing there. And so that's really lovely, because that is a bit more connected to obviously...
Yeah, links back to your work. Yeah.
But it's also about kind of, I suppose, maintaining part of a community, because I think when you're self-employed as well, you know, you do end up working a lot more on your own. And so I do like to then feel like I still have a connection to people in the community and working alongside other people. And
you need, oh my gosh, so
there's lots of different things I'm doing, but I do like variety, you know, it makes it interesting. But
that's amazing. And is there any would you recommend any sort of teachers? I know you've mentioned a few, which we'll put in the show notes, but are there any like books or teachers or courses that you think if someone wanted to do your work, other than the ones you've mentioned, is there anything that like pops out to you or you would give advice to them?
I mean, I guess the advice would to just go towards things that call to you.
Uh-huh.
So go out there and try different therapies, I think, first and foremost. I think just try a variety of things and see what you feel like really works for you, what you feel connected to, even down to like going to different teachers for it, because, you know, I find like with yoga, it's like it's a lot of it's to do with the teacher.
100%,
I think it's about personal preference, but I think it's about trying to find that genuine interest and passion for something, because then learning about it's going to be easy, because you know you really want to learn about it,
don't you?
And trying not to think so much about the sort of work side of it, of like, oh, you know, what are other people going to be into, because
that's such a good point.
You know, it's never going to feel as satisfying, I think, if you're just constantly searching for that. And I think if you have a genuine enthusiasm for what you're delivering,
mm-hmm.
people will love that. And I think that's what they'll get from it as well, you know, and they'll pick up on it. And so I think that's the key thing.
That's great advice.
In terms of books, I read a really amazing one by Barbara Wren called Cellular Awakening.
Ooh.
That was really interesting. She just does fascinating work into looking at like the cell and how the light gets into your cells, basically.
Wow.
And actually, kind of, you know, there's a real almost spiritual part of it, but she, you know, there's also the microbiology part, so it's quite well rounded, I think. But that's a really good book. I'd recommend that one. Louise Hay's work as well. I mean, I love her stuff. And I'm trying to think of other books. I mean, I've read so many. There's so many on my shelf at home.
That's fine. If you being on spot, quite hard.
Yeah, send me a list.
If you because you'll go for a walk and then you'll be like, oh yeah, that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, is there anything you wish you? I don't know if it's not that you knew, but like myths you'd like to dispel for anyone who's maybe a bit nervous about thinking they can't do this type of work. Just so they know that if they can get qualified and like they put like practice and they can get like insurance and things like that, like it's not this lofty gatekeepery thing that only certain people get to do.
Yeah,
like it's a real tangible thing that someone can do for a job.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think you know, the nutritional therapy part of it, there's loads of different ways that you can go and study that now, and lots of different levels that you can take it to.
Oh, great.
So obviously, you know, you could go and do a degree or master's or something in it, and, you know, and go and work for the NHS, or the college I studied with, they do, the first level is called a nutrition advisor course. So you could just do that initial course, and you obviously you can call yourself a nutrition advisor, but there's a limit to kind of, I suppose, what kind of cases you can take on.
Right.
And what's suitable for you to work with, and where you'd maybe have to pass them on to someone else. But you could still have that as a starting point where you can give people so much good advice, you know, because often it's the simple things really that are the most effective, like making sure people are hydrated. I mean, this is like the key to, I mean, like Barbara, that's kind of what her entire book is about, really. And, you know, so it doesn't have to be this big complicated thing in order to give people something that could be really life-changing for them, even though it seems like a very small amount of information.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know until you know.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I would say, yeah, just pick something that you love and pick something that's really helped you in your life. And just start maybe somewhere small, and like you say, see if it feels right for you. And then when it comes to actually setting up in practice, I mean, you've just got to go for it.
Yeah, you know? There's no...
And I think, yeah, like the first sort of sound bath that I ran, like I was quite nervous because it is a thing in like a front of a group of people, and they're entrusting you by all lying down with their eyes closed. And, you know, it is quite a, it's a thing to be aware of, I think, so that, you know, you kind of understand what your role is, and, you know, it is something to kind of take seriously, but you've just got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, the more you practice something, the easier it will become. And I think, you know, just again, start with friends and family, like start somewhere where you feel more comfortable.
It's a great idea.
And then build it up from there. And I think it'll always be a learning curve. Some things work, some things feel like they didn't work, and then you'll keep developing that as you go on. And so I think, you know, like you say, don't put pressure on yourself, and don't think you have to finish a course and then immediately go into this job full time, and this be your only way of earning money, and you know, and it has to become your identity, and all this stuff. It's like it takes a lot of investment of energy and time. So I would say just be gentle on yourself, you know, and let it happen organically, and let it grow. And you know, you never know where something's going to take you. So I think sometimes, like, to not have too fixed a vision can be useful. I
it's think a great it's good point,
to have a, you know, in terms of like manifestation, to know what kind of like feeling or what kind of idea or something you would like, but how you're going to get there could be a very different path.
Yes.
So, you know, even for me, like last year was going to be focusing just on nutritional therapy, and actually it's kind of gone towards the sound healing a lot more than I thought, because it just seems to be that's where the energy is, and that's just the opportunities that kind of keep coming up. So I've just gone with that, and you know, it's been fun. Why fight it if it feels good? Oh my God. Yeah, I think that's the main thing. And also try not to compare yourself to other people. It is difficult with social media. I didn't have a Facebook, I've deleted it years ago.
Yeah.
And never really used Instagram, to be honest, until I got into this work, and I did recognize that it is really useful in terms of advertising and connecting with people and keeping people updated about events and the services you offer. But I don't think it's the only way.
Yeah, I want to scream that from the rooftops.
Yeah, because it's not something that comes naturally to me. I'm 38. I didn't grow up with these things, so it's not kind of second nature to me to record everything I do in a day and put it out on the internet, and it's just my personality doesn't vibe like that. But I have been trying to kind of grow, you know. It's like, it's good to push yourself out of your comfort zone and trying to record a few more videos and things like that. But I would say, yeah, you could get quite caught up looking at someone's social media, somebody's website. People always present, you know, best foot forward on these platforms, so it might look like this person is like achieving all of this and this and this that you think that you would really like, but it might not be the whole truth. And also, they might have been doing it for 25 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course they're going to have more followers or more clients and things like that, because they've invested a lot of time and energy in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's...
that's really helpful. I'm
also really key. Just do your own thing.
Yeah.
And be yourself and be authentic, and you'll attract the kind of clients that will... that will really resonate with that.
Yeah, it's that. So. It is actually that simple.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Just believe in that. Yeah, there'll be people who will understand what you're about.
Yeah. And think about it. There's so many people in the world. Like, your audience is there. You just like need to put your little lantern on of like you, and then people can like start seeing that and be like, oh, I really like. I that's why I book in with certain people. I just like how I feel when I see their pictures, or I like that they're being honest, or I don't know, there's something about them that I'm drawn to because they're being themselves.
Yeah, it's all energy, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's kind of what I've learned by studying all these different things, of what it comes down to really is that transference of energy between two people who believe that they're separate but maybe they're not.
Oh, God, I love that.
You know, and I think, yeah, that's why you feel attracted to certain people, because of the energy that they're giving off, and perhaps there's something in that exchange at that time that you both need.
Mm.
And I think, yeah, that's where I think part of the sound healing stuff and the gong in particular, because it's all about resonance and vibration, isn't it? And
yeah,
we all have a unique vibration. That's another book, actually, I'll give you for the list.
Yeah.
So a guy's written a book all about this, about how we all have your own unique vibration, even from birth. So he talks about how no two newborn babies have exactly the same heart rhythm.
Wow.
So that, you know, it's like there's something unique in the way that we're all expressing, but we're all part of the same kind of energy.
God, I love that.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. Yeah, I did my sort of Reiki level one last year as well.
Oh, amazing.
As part of it. And I think that's, yeah, really, I feel like it's amplified all of these things that I was kind of curious about before, and it's like, okay, it makes more sense now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so yeah.
Is there anything that you want to like promote, or like something that's anything, any events you've got coming up that people can come and see you?
Yeah.
Or like, how would people come and...
So you can
get in touch with you.
So you can follow me on my Instagram.
Yes.
Where you might see some videos. or maybe not. It's called Rise Rooted Wellbeing.
We'll link that.
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram and Facebook. I do have a website as well. And I do try and keep it all quite updated. In terms of the group events, so I have a gong bath this Friday at Robin's Yoga Studio. So it's just on Milsom Street. And then I hold monthly ones at New Royal Hall in Lark Hall, so it's a community centre.
Amazing.
And another monthly one at the Church Hall in Salford, where I live, which is very sweet. And then I also do bi-monthly group ones at Well Bath in Charlcombe.
Great.
So these are all kind of open to the public. I do a few others that are kind of private bookings, but each one is kind of generally monthly. And then I do also work one-to-one or one to two, so if a couple of friends or a couple come and have a more personal journey. You know, if people get distracted maybe by other people in group gong baths, you know, like it can be difficult if people are moving around a lot, or perhaps someone's fallen asleep and start snoring, which happens. Yeah. But you know, if you're one of those people that's quite sensitive to that,
sure,
then perhaps a one-to-one you might get more from, because it's the instruments and me and you in the room. So so I do that at Well. And yeah, in terms of nutritional therapy, I often do like a discovery call. So I think that's the best way of kind of entering into it.
Okay.
Is just popping me an email or a message, and we'll book in just for a free 15-minute call, just to talk about what nutritional therapy could offer, whether, you know, it's suitable to work with someone at that time. Because yeah, there's such a range that it can help with. So I think having just an informal chat is a great way of booking someone in.
That is amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, well, thanks for inviting me. Yeah.
You're welcome. Well, Well, she was absolutely amazing. You can find Amy at riserooted.co.uk, and she is on Instagram and Facebook at riserooted wellbeing. All of this is in the show notes, but I just thought I'd say it again so you can get in touch with her. And I will see you on the next episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you again soon. Bye. Hey guys, I'm about to interview Carolina, who is an Argentinian astrologer. So we're going to talk about all things astrology, find out if you want to be an astrologer, like how on earth do you do that? We're here to just break all those myths in your brain that you think you can't do this for work, because you can. And Carolina is going to help you get there. See you at the end.